always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas. Even though it's raining, rain is beautiful, too, in my opinion. And there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my good friend and co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How you doing, Terry?
Doing all right so far. It's been looking like rain all day, but nothing's happened. So,
well,
typical Texas weather. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. And we're only, 70 miles apart, somewhere in there? 50 to, I call it a different number. It seems like every time I address it, and that's because I really don't know the exact amount. But anyway.
Well, so, I don't want anybody to know. I want any more. We've got enough fixes on us as it is.
Yeah, that's a truth.
I don't want to get between somebody's crosshairs.
Yeah, okay. Well, I am going to put this back up on screen again one more time for those of you that are watching us in visual form, that today on the newscast, we're going to be talking about the slow death of America. We are very much into that process, and I believe that this all leads us to the conclusion of why America will not be involved in the battles to come, and why the United States of America is not mentioned in the Bible. I truly am becoming more and more convinced of the reasons, and we'll get into that as we go on. Also, we're going to talk about that incredibly fast rise of China. We weren't even talking about China 6-7 months ago, and now it's in every show. It's taking over, and that's because China is taking over, except for one thing. This entire newscast, this entire show is based on one thing, and it's becoming more and more prevalent every day, and that is Israel, Israel, Israel. It is all about Israel, and we're going to spend a great deal of time on that today. But even before we get down to business, I do have to break in right away because we have a few items of breaking news to talk about today.
All right.
First of all, dozens of rockets have been fired from Lebanon into Israel. At least 34 rockets have been fired from Lebanon. That's held this morning. The Security Council in Israel is meeting right now as I speak to you as to what to do. They have not prepared a full statement on this as of yet. But anyway, the missiles have been firing into Israel. I'm sure the Iron Dome has come into play. But again, this is so new that I do not have any full reports on it yet. It is just something to be made aware of in a big way. And, of course, this has a lot to do with Passover. This also has a lot to do with Ramadan. So all of that is playing into it, and I can tell you right now that Israel is on very high alert. Another thing breaking today, this is from the former Israeli consul general, and he is making a statement today which is something that everyone should pay very, very close attention to. And it is something that plays into what I just talked about the United States not being in the Bible. There was a reason for it. Listen to this. This is from Asif Zamir, who resigned as consul general in New York because he said that he was worried about losing U.S. support. I'm waiting on Terry to finish. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, when you're making all that noise, you wipe me out. That's the reason I'm saying that. Okay. The former consul general, he says that Israel has become an American protectorate. The former Israeli consul general to New York spoke to Channel 12 following his resignation. He said during the interview, the former diplomat voiced his concerns regarding Israel's relations with the United States, stating, The thing that is most important for me to say is that this is a true alarm. We are losing the United States, and we are a protectorate of the U.S., and we are in many ways trapped in this relationship. This individual, this high-ranking official in Israel, is saying that Israel is losing American support. Now, if America no longer supports Israel, then God will no longer support the United States of America, and you can expect the demise of the United States to follow that. Terry, do you agree, disagree, or have a comment on that?
I agree completely with what you're saying, but before we jump into that, I'd like to ask a prayer for Israel right now. Don't you think that'd be a, with what's going on? You don't even have the full report yet, but let's go ahead. Lord Jesus, we pray for Israel, and they're receiving rocket fire even as we speak. Lord Jesus, we know you love them. We know you, your desire and your aim and your purpose and what you will do is to eventually to save Israel. But in this meantime, Lord, we pray protection on the people, Lord, of that country. We thank you for the privilege and the honor of joining in. Amen. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, the Israel situation and America is going to be just cut out of the picture. As far as God is concerned, God's already shown us through the years, every time our government has ruled against Israel, we've had tornadoes, hurricanes, all kinds of problems come up. And it's just going to continue. My goodness, it's happening now, even now, and we don't know what shades of it are actually linked with our disregard for and dishonoring of Israel. We don't know.
Amen. It's, you know, amen. And for those of you that are watching us in visual form, you see me looking away. It's not that I'm not paying Terry attention. I am paying attention to what is happening in Israel. Okay? They are updating.
That's right. Yes.
They are updating this report by minute by minute. And if there is something that breaks through there, I do want to be able to bring that to you right away. The reason
let me throw this in. Yeah, let me throw this in. Folks, I want you to welcome to the real world. Here we are. If I wave to you, that's because me and I'm waving to you. When he looks away, he's doing something else. If I turn away somewhere, I'm doing something. Welcome to the world. You're watching this thing as it's happening.
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Amen. Well, I just wanted to make it clear to everybody, the reason I have the commentary sign up there is because anytime I'm not speaking in a factual manner, I feel it's important that we show that. I am a member of the U.S. Press Association, and I do not want to confuse real news, breaking news, with anything that I state as an opinion or anything that Terry states as an opinion. And because all of this is breaking right away, it has to fall under commentary until we have the factual data to support anything that we might say. My commentary being that if the United States of America fails to support Israel, that in my opinion and according to the Bible, this country will be cursed, because those who curse Israel are cursed. Those who bless Israel are blessed. And you cannot bless Israel by condemning what they do. That's an impossibility.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now then, I do have one more, believe it or not, one more piece of breaking news, which is factual. And this is about our president, President Joe Biden, who has just received another contender for the nomination of the Democrat Party for President of the United States. And this happens to be a name which will resonate all across the world. Everybody's going to realize it right as soon as I say it. But the newest contender, just threw his name in the ring today, is Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. RFK Jr. is now a candidate for the presidency of the United States as a Democrat, and he is going to definitely make some waves. His name alone is going to propel him to a very high position. And of course, with Joe Biden's mental capacities right now, which we can debate, but with his mental capabilities right now, I think that Mr. Kennedy is going to be a formidable opponent to Mr. Biden. Any comment on that real quick, Terry?
Kennedy has come out with some really good supports on various issues that I'm totally in line with. I'm just saying he's a worthy contender regardless, and certainly Biden, we don't even want to go there. So.
Right. Okay, now we're going to go now more into why did I call this the slow death of America? And I'm going to have to put the commentary thing back up here again for a lot of this because I don't have factual data in a lot of cases. I've got news reports. I have ideas, but nothing substantial. Nothing that I can say is 100% fact yet, even though I believe it will become 100% fact very soon. And so I'm going to begin this with by letting you guys know this is about President Donald J. Trump and what is ahead for him. So let's listen to this.
Republican Representative George Santos and Marjorie Taylor Greene were among the 50 to 60 Trump supporters gathered outside the courthouse at Collect Pond Park, some with flags reading Trump or death.
Greene spoke outside the courthouse, calling Trump's indictment election interference. She accused Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg of being a tool for Democrats to hijack the 2024 presidential election. Haley White reporting.
And I agree with that 100%. It's all something. But what I had not considered in all of this from the beginning was that there is like a 100% chance that Trump is going to be convicted. I had never really thought about that before. Mm-hmm. But based on where he is, based on where all of this is happening, there is a 100% chance that Mr. Trump is going to be convicted. This is a socialist state, a socialist attorney general, a socialist jury, a socialist court, a socialist judge with socialist charges that is guaranteed to convict the former president. Now, what the after effects will be of that, I don't know. But former President Trump's going to be convicted, and he's going to be convicted of all 34 of these illegitimate, trumped up charges against him as the state of New York persecutes, not, doesn't prosecute, as they persecute a former president. And what they don't realize is that the ramifications of this could in fact lead to the second civil war in the United States of America. I'm not saying that in a manner to try and provoke anyone. I'm not trying to hype it up. I'm not trying to say this all go to war, because I'm not in favor of that. I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a proud citizen of the United States. I support the United States in general. But in this particular case, what they are doing with this persecution of a man, a complete persecution for nothing, it can and quite possibly could cause a revolution inside this country. And another reason why the United States of America might not be in the Bible. Terry, do you have any comment on that? I've got the commentary sign up, so you can make your opinion set.
Absolutely. Alan Dershowitz, who is one of the greatest legal minds in America, agrees with you completely. has stated as such. But he also, and many other lawyers that have chimed in on this, have come to the conclusion that that will happen, and immediately it will be appealed, and immediately it will be thrown away. That's what they're suggesting. As far as all of this going and the leading to the civil warfare, one of the things that many Republican and conservative leaders, and maybe there may even be some people on the other side, I don't know, but I do know they are cautioning America. What is taking place now is an attempt by the left to stir right leaning people, Americans, and in fact, anybody in America that disagrees with them, to stir them into rebellion. And so they are ready with their forces. And the minute anybody starts getting out of line, now, if you're Antifa or BLM or something and you want to burn down a building, have at it. Don't worry about it. You can take it easy. You know, sip your tea while you're doing it. You know, but if you're someone against that movement, you are going to be yanked. And just like the people in January 6th, you're going to be thrown into jail, the key thrown away and forgotten about.
And
that's my opinion.
And that's the reason that the commentary sign stayed up throughout that entire speech that you just gave, because I do want to make sure that people do understand that was Terry Farley's opinion.
That wasn't news. That now, was me.
Now then, Terry, it's time for you. And I know that you had told me previously that you followed my homework assignment. So
I did.
So now, Terry, it is time for 2 minutes with Terry, which begins right now.
Welcome to The Last Christian Call, Christian Orientation, Part 5, The Sword of the Spirit, The Word of God. The Bible, the very Word of God, reveals itself in its entirety in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Genesis 1:1 initializes John 1:1, declaring, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God is initialized in the Hebrew of Genesis 1:1 as Elohim, and in John 1 as the Word. Elohim, the plural of Eloah, is a Hebrew word meaning gods, here revealing the Trinity. Although the word is plural in the Hebrew Bible, it is most often takes singular verbal or pronominal agreement and refers to a single deity, particularly the God of Israel. Thus, in the beginning, before creation, God is. The Word is God, God. And verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, the Word became flesh, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Okay, and Terry, I've got to step on you and bring you to a halt for now. We'll finish that up in the second half of the show. By the way, update coming out of Israel, Minister Strzok has made a statement saying Israel has the ability to retaliate sevenfold. The minister calls for a significant response to the shooting from Gaza and Lebanon during Passover. And then quoting him, Israel has the full capabilities to retaliate against our enemies sevenfold. I trust the cabinet to make the right decisions. I send support and prayers for the peace of our soldiers and the residents of the North and South. The people of Israel will stand united against their enemies, unquote. So it is continuing there. Israel's on it. Unlike the United States, which is very, very slow to respond, Israel is not. They strike quickly. By the way, one thing that I did not include in the newscast today, but that should be, I guess, included, is the fact that the Biden administration is now blaming Trump for the way in which he left Afghanistan. They have actually released a report, which you can find online, anybody can find it, which now blames President Trump for the manner in which the United States left Afghanistan. Nothing more ridiculous, and really, I think this proves the mental ability of President Joe Biden, beyond any doubt. It's complete. Amen. Complete senility is the best way to do that. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of other reasons why the United States is not in the Bible.
Washington State has purchased a 3-year supply of leading abortion medication in anticipation of a court ruling that would limit its availability, Governor Jay Inslee said. The Democratic governor said he ordered the Department of Corrections, which has a pharmacy license, to buy 30,000 doses of the generic version of mifepristone at a cost of about $1.28 million, or $42.50 per pill. The shipment arrived in late March.
Okay, so the governor there has just endorsed murder. He has endorsed infanticide, in my opinion, because according to the Bible, that is murder. So, you know, now I'm not opposing a woman's right to choose. She is free to make her own decision. That's between her and God. I've got nothing to do with that. I have nothing at all to do with that. I can simply say that the Bible says it's wrong. So whatever you want to do, that's your choice. But I highly suggest that you take a look at the Bible. Okay? I'm not going to comment on that any further at all. Now, one thing that I am going to back up on just a little bit to let people know that there are at least a few states that still believe in the United States of America. One of them is Florida, and here's a report from them.
Floridians will be able to carry concealed guns without a permit under a bill Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed Monday, giving the governor another legislative victory as he prepares a campaign for president.
The governor signed the bill in a private ceremony in his office. His only immediate public comment was, "Constitutional carry is in the books," which he said in a 3-paragraph news release. Oscar Mays reporting.
And I happen to agree with that. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And
that's right.
I'm going to make this really, really easy for anybody to understand. If you have a gun, set it out there on a chair. Okay? And you tell me when it shoots somebody. Mm-hmm. Tell me when it kills somebody. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now then, you let a criminal loose out of jail, and you tell him that there is an easy way to get money. It's right across the street, and all he's got to do is beat up this 70-year-old man, and he can have all that money, up to $1 million. I guarantee you that without a gun, you're going to see that guy run across the street and beat the heck out of that guy and take his $1 million and run. But if that man had a gun and shot him, there would never be a theft. And it wasn't the gun that did it. It was the man that held it. And until you can prove to me that a gun can, by itself, aim, shoot, and kill, then guns got nothing to do with it, people. You are protesting the wrong thing, and I will stand by that until the day I die. That is my personal opinion. It's a strong opinion, and anybody that wants to argue with me about it, well, let me tell you this. I'm going to start by saying you're an idiot, and that's all I got to say on that. Okay. Now, Terry, we got a lot to cover. We're going to go to China next. But we're going to do that in the second half of the show. We're going to talk about China, and we're going to talk about Israel. Again, the main thing going on with Israel right now is they are under attack. There have been at least 34 rockets fired at them. So we've got a lot to cover, and that is an updating story that we're going to continue in the second half of the show, I'm sure. But I want to go back for this half of the show and go back into the Word of God. Can you give me, breaking from the script that you have written, because I know you're going to continue that in the second half, and that's all good. That's great. Mm-hmm. But breaking from that script entirely, not repeating a single word of it, can you explain this Word of God thing a little bit to where people can get, I mean, I understand it, obviously, but there are people out there that don't understand how Jesus is the Word of God. They don't get that. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah. And thank you for this opportunity. The reason I go so fast is because I'm trying to get as much punch in there as I can.
Right.
But I want you to understand something. Soldiers were sent to arrest Jesus, and they came back. And they asked him, they said, well, what happened? Did you find him? And they said, oh, we found him. They said, well, did you arrest him? And they said, no, actually, we didn't. And did he speak? Yeah, he spoke. Well, well, why didn't you arrest him? And the soldiers said, and I love this, and I'm giving it the King James on this. The soldiers said to him, never a man spake like that man. When you walked into the presence of Jesus and he began to talk, the Bible records that people listened to him because of the fact that when Jesus spoke, he didn't speak as someone who had been taught and schooled and given all of the right answers. He spoke as someone with authority. When he would say something, you knew that was the bottom line. That was the end of it. The Bible very helpfully helps us to understand that Jesus always was. He is from eternity to eternity. And God, he had to leave. He said, he tells the disciples, he says, I have to go away. Because if I don't go away, I cannot send you a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, even though Joel lives 70 miles, whatever it is, away from me, the same Holy Spirit that is in me, that you are listening to, is in Joel, who is sitting quietly there
Amen.
Listening.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Same the same Holy Spirit is in every person who knows Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus put it this way. He said, when two, and there's two of us, now I know we're not connected by flesh, but we're connected electronically
Amen.
By AI. I'm teasing a little bit there, but we're connected. We're also connected, more importantly, supremely, divinely, through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And everyone who's listening today, every person who believes in Jesus is just as connected to me, to Joel, to every other believer in the world. We're all connected. We're
Amen.
All one.
Amen and amen. Terry, thank you so much for that because, you know.
I can go on.
I know you can, but we're almost out of time for the first half.
Amen.
But this, now you guys understand why I say my brother in Christ when I introduced him, because he is my brother in Christ, okay? Amen. And Terry has got more knowledge of the Bible than I do, by a long shot. But we are both Christians. We both know where we're going. You better know where you're going. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, do it now, because the rapture mm-hmm. could happen at any time. And if you miss that, you got to go through at least part of the tribulation. Don't do that. We're looking for that last Jesus. Individual to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. So please take a moment, say that prayer of salvation, and ensure your eternity. If you only get the first half of the show and you'd like to hear the whole thing, go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. For everybody else, we'll be back right after the break.
Attention podcasters, influencers, media personalities, content creators, and aspiring or existing radio personalities. KRRB Revelation Radio now offers the opportunity to broadcast or syndicate both new or existing shows to all 50 states and more than 160 countries around the world. And if you currently operate a radio station, we offer you the opportunity to add several popular shows in virtually every genre for broadcast on your station. Choose programming from 30 minutes to 2 hours, with each internationally syndicated show adding quality content sure to grow your listening audience. We even have excellent optional services to help you promote your show or station. These services are not only designed for audio use on the radio, but also include tools for use on social media, even YouTube. For more information, visit www.revelationradio.net or email the Ustreamit LLC Broadcast Network at office@ustreamit.net today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I really appreciate you going into that a little bit about the Word. And I'm still waiting on one part of that. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That is the part I'm waiting for the explanation of. I know I wasn't real specific in what I was asking about. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're going to get there because I know you. I know you well enough to know. Yes. And so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be good. Now, before we move on out of the United States and move into China and all the rest of the world, I want you to listen to a report which kind of shows us where our president's mind is, what is really important to Joe Biden. Okay, listen to this.
U.S. President Joe Biden will travel to Northern Ireland next week to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. The White House confirmed President Biden will first visit Belfast before traveling to Dublin in the Republic of Ireland, spending a total of 4 days in both countries. The announcement comes just a day after President Biden told King Charles III he would not be attending the monarch's coronation in London in May. In a phone call, Biden told the king his wife, First Lady Jill Biden, would be there to represent the United States instead.
Okay, and you know, I feel like President Biden probably is confused and he thinks that in Ireland they don't speak English, so he doesn't have to worry about talking, where he knows that the king actually does. What he doesn't understand, and what me and Terry know, because we visited Ireland a lot. I mean, I love Dublin. I believe it was St. Patrick's Cathedral. I'm not sure about that, but in the middle of Dublin, and the very first time I went there, what I was really, what mesmerized me, number one, they have this huge organ. I mean, this organ is like the size of, almost the size of my house. I mean, it's huge. It's a huge pipe organ. But they have crypts that are actually along the pews inside the church. These people were buried centuries ago, or not buried. They were put in the crypts, which is inside the church itself. And then if you go downstairs, yeah, there really is a downstairs. If you go downstairs into the crypt, then you've got all of these people that are buried under the church. You know, it's kind of eerie, to be honest with you, to go down there. But you can go down there and visit it. They even have some torture devices at the bottom of the steps. But anyway, that's beside the point. But anyway, President Biden thinks it's safe to travel to Dublin, bottom line. He thinks it's safe to do that. And then he wants to slap the King of England in the face and said, you're not worth, you know, even though we're supposed to be great allies, I'm not even going to attend your coronation. Instead, I'm going to send my crazy wife over there. I mean, that's basically that. Okay, I just wanted to throw that in because I thought it was interesting. Let's talk about China a little bit. And let's begin with this one.
China's launched military drills after U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy met Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen in California. He's the most senior U.S. official to meet a Taiwanese leader on U.S. soil since 1979, U.S. correspondent Kate Fisher reports.
There were huge military drills when last year Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy's predecessor, went to Taipei. China retaliated by sending missiles over the island. So there is a lot at stake here. But Kevin McCarthy, I think, is new to this job. He is keen to show that whatever Nancy Pelosi can do, he can do as well. I think the Taiwanese possibly said they prefer it to be on US soil as it feels less provocative than him going to Taipei, although that is something he says he has not ruled out. The whole point is to try to show China that there is this strong alliance between the two while also not trying to provoke them too much. And it's a terribly difficult balance to strike.
And it's an impossible balance to strike because we have the one China policy, which means that we recognize that Taiwan does belong to China. But at the same time, we're saying that we ask that China allow them to act as an independent country. Well, China's saying no. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of that. And if anything, all they've done is they have brought it a closer time frame to a Chinese attack, in my opinion. You have any comment on that, Terry?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of politics in there, but I think we need to give McCarthy a little bit more credit because he was standing up to China and making himself forceful, a Speaker of the House, and that is a very, very important position in the world of politics in America, and so I'm glad he did it. I'm very glad he did it.
I'm not. Okay. We have a difference of agreement or a difference of opinion here,
yeah.
Because I think that what McCarthy did is he poked China in the eye and said, mm-hmm. we're going to do what we're going to do, and you're just going to have to get over yourself. And China is saying, look, you are meeting with the Taiwanese, who are now saying that they are equal to us on the world stage. Their president mm-hmm. is equal to us on the world stage, mm-hmm. and Taiwan belongs to us. They are not mm-hmm. equal to us. Mm-hmm. And if we mm-hmm. need to prove that point to you by invading Taiwan, mm-hmm. that's exactly what we're going to do. I think mm-hmm. he made a very bad decision. I believe he made a bad mistake. I believe that he's encouraging China to attack Taiwan. And here's my prediction. He'll do it by the end of 2023. That's my prediction to this. Okay.
Okay. The reason, and I have to throw this in.
Okay.
The reason I'm in favor of it is because if anyone pays attention to what's going on in the world, we are each of us, as Americans, as individuals, even across the world, being given less and less freedom to stand and say, this is what I think.
Right.
And that goes right up the ladder to our important leaders in our country. And the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, she went to Taiwan.
Right.
Okay. And she did that as a provocation to show her own power, to aggrandize herself. That's my opinion. Okay. But he did it for the purpose of saying to China, you're not going to come. You know, they just sent balloons over our military installations and took record of that stuff, and it was sent back immediately as it was going over the military different back to China. I mean, they were doing that as they were going along.
Okay, I don't want to spend too long on this. Because we could go on for this forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, we could. But absolutely.
The point is, what possible good came out of that? And my answer to that is none. Okay, that's where I've got to leave it. I mean, you know, we can support. I like this Speaker of the House, I really do. But in my opinion, he goofed on this one because I think.
Okay, and your freedom to say that was supported by what he did.
Right. Well, okay, support of the United States means absolutely nothing to China. That's my point. Yeah. Okay. We poke China in the eye, in my opinion. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now then, I want to also let people know that Finland joining NATO, in my opinion, this gives Finland and NATO a false sense of security, but let's listen to this.
Finland joined the NATO military alliance Tuesday, dealing a major blow to Russian President Vladimir Putin with a historic realignment of Europe's post-Cold War security landscape triggered by Moscow's invasion of Ukraine.
The Nordic country's membership doubles Russia's border with the world's biggest security alliance. Finland had adopted neutrality after its defeat by the Soviets in World War II. But its leaders signaled they wanted to join NATO after Moscow's invasion of Ukraine sent a shiver of fear through its neighbors. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay, so Finland, in my opinion, believes that now that they're a part of NATO, they're safe. And NATO believes that because Finland is a part of NATO, they've made everything stronger. But every time that Russia moves and does something, what does NATO do? Have you seen anything? Okay, and
I looked into the bed and everything.
Let's be really brutally honest here. The only force that NATO has is called the United States of America. Nobody else is going to move unless the United States of America says it's okay, because the United States of America makes up the majority of the force. And right now, the United States of America has no leadership that is going to stand up to anybody at all. So it doesn't matter what Finland does. If Russia wants to move into Finland, or if they want to move into Poland, or they want to move into wherever, they're going to do it. And guess what? NATO's going to scream and holler and go to the UN. They might even take it to the United Nations Security Council, where Russia can invoke their veto. But they're not going to do anything else at all, in my personal opinion. Do you have any comment to that, Terry?
I can't add to it. they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, I,
you know,
I don't see it. I just
can
don't
laugh because I'm a Christian and I'm saved. But anyway,
right, right, okay. Now, also, even worse, India. Population is huge, right? All right, let's listen to India here.
India has abstained from voting at the United Nations Human Rights Council resolution to extend the investigation into Russia's alleged war crimes in Ukraine. The resolution was passed nonetheless, with 28 out of 47 members voting in favour of an investigation. Delhi has now abstained from all four UNHRC resolutions concerning the war in Ukraine. Ishan Garg has more from New Delhi.
India calls these abstentions its way of showing the country's commitment to multilateralism. It's calling for peace through dialogue. India's permanent representative to the United Nations says Delhi's approach to the conflict remains people-centric, which is why the country is continuing to send aid to Ukraine. But it is also having to walk a diplomatic tightrope as India continues to buy Russian defense supplies and oil amid rising pressure from the West to alienate Moscow. Analysts say India's abstention from all Ukraine-related votes at the UN is a direct result of this precarious position. Ishan Garg, New Delhi.
Now, something that I thought I had printed out. Well, there it is. I just found it after thinking that I had not gotten it. I do have it. And this is something that is very, very important for people to listen to. Because I think it is a precursor of something that we're going to see happen in the Ukraine in the coming days. So let's listen to this one.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today in more detail at Russia now taking the helm of the UN Security Council. It is Moscow's turn to hold the rotating presidency, which is shared out on a monthly basis among 14 other members. Russia, of course, is also a permanent five member of the Security Council, with veto powers over any measure that comes before it. And the fact that it's now occupying the presidency of the council at a time when the Kremlin is waging war in Ukraine has been greeted with consternation in Kyiv and elsewhere. Bob McMahon is with America's Council on Foreign Relations.
There have been calls for years for reforming the council, including the structure of it, who wields a veto, and so forth. They are circular arguments that will never get resolved because no permanent member is ever going to give up the veto right. It just has to do with the way this body was formed in the post-war era. The UN has tried to reform around the edges, and the UN is enormous and involved in all sorts of things. By its very nature, being a universal organization, it's going to come under scrutiny, if not criticism, for the way in which it allows its very diverse membership to behave. So it's going to be just yet another test for the UN. Brace yourself for April.
Now, while the presidency gives the Russians a chance to set the agenda at the Security Council, they can't halt debate. And the last time Russia was in the chair was February last year, the very month in which Vladimir Putin launched his invasion of Ukraine. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
So, as you can tell there from that report, Russia is now in the president's chair in the United Nations, and they get to set the agenda, they get to set what the world talks about, they get to decide what the world doesn't talk about. So let's say that Russia now, in that presidential chair, decides that it's time to invade Poland, or that it's time to use nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons in the Ukraine. Now, other countries might want to bring that up, but Russia, being in the chair, they can say, nah, and we're not going to talk about that. What are your comments and thoughts on that, Terry?
Well, this actually falls back on talking about McCarthy. You know, you got.
It's got nothing to do with McCarthy.
Speech.
This is the United Nations. This is not the United States. This is the United Nations.
And I understand, but I'm saying we should have freedom, whoever we are, whatever country we're from, of getting things discussed. As an example, you and I, when we have a disagreement, we talk about it. And we give each other space to say. They're not giving them space at all. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They're just cutting them off.
Right. And that's it. You know, that's the difference between the United States of America, at least right now, where you're able to have an opinion.
That's right.
And the United Nations, where it doesn't matter. Where, you know, the United Nations is not a. They're not citizens of the United States. These are representatives from all over the world that get to congregate in New York. And even though New York is a part of the United States of America, the United Nations is not a part of the United States of America or a part of the city of New York. It is its own independent area with its own rules and its own laws and its own regulations that have nothing whatsoever to do with the United States. I find it to be incredible that Russia has this power. And believe me, there's nothing anybody can do about it. Because just like the guy in the report said, there's no way that a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council is ever going to give up the veto. They're just not. So
no.
You know, so much for that. Terry, it's time for the second half of your presentation. We do this in every show, both parts of the show. I give Terry a full 2 minutes in every show, and Terry, your time is now.
Yes, the Word became flesh, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus Jesus, God as the Word in flesh, commanded, ye must be born again. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice the word believe is in the present tense, which means right now, this moment, today. And this invitation is now approaching the most dramatic event in all of history, per the very word of God itself, as Jesus prepares to shout and call his bride up to be with him. John wrote his last books near the end of his life, approaching the end of the first century from the birth of Jesus. In 1 John 5:13, this apostle once more affirmed the very purpose of the Word of God, that you may know you have, present tense, eternal life. Jesus' very mission to this lost and dying world, his death on the cross, paying for the sins of the whole world. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Call on Jesus now. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Be saved today. Maranatha.
Amen. Amen. And you got it. You got it. I told you it was coming. I told you. I knew you. I knew you well enough to know that you were not going to miss that because, again, you know the Bible. And I count
on Jesus.
I count
Glory
on that.
Glory to Jesus. Amen.
Now,
amen.
A little bit on Russia, a little bit on China, a lot on Israel coming. So I'm just going for sake of time, we're going to run through this really quick. Some of these reports I'm just going to have to mention and then move on. So let's begin with this one.
Ukraine's armed forces said they have repelled 45 Russian attacks during the past 24 hours as fighting raged in and around the city of Bakhmut, while Washington pledged more weapons to help Kyiv prepare for a spring counteroffensive.
After weathering a punishing, months-long assault in eastern Ukraine, Kyiv's military commanders have said a counteroffensive is not far off but have stressed the importance of holding towns, including Bakhmut, and inflicting losses in the meantime. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay, I'm pretty much going to leave that one alone. We're just going to keep on moving here. President Xi of China is now scheduled to have a call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. They are saying, or the Ukrainians are saying, that I know I can count on you to bring Russia back to its senses and everyone back to the negotiating table. Mr. Zelensky, if you're really counting on that, hate to tell you, ain't going to happen. Okay, Turkey is meeting with Assad. Okay, so they want a new alliance with Syria. Okay, now this is biblical because of the fact that Turkey is going to be a member of that coalition that comes against Israel in the Gog and Magog war. So to see them now making friends again with Syria, this is an indication that we're getting even closer. This is an indication that that coalition is coming closer and closer together. Agree or disagree, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're nailing it. You're nailing it.
Okay, next up. Despite U.S. opposition, Jordan pursues normalization with, guess who? Syria. So here we go. The coalition is continuing to grow. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So here are two nations in one newscast, that are normalizing relations with Syria. Syria devoted to taking out Israel. Iran devoted to taking out Israel. These are reports coming in. These are current news reports, everybody. These are current news reports. This is something that you're seeing on your news that nobody's paying any attention to what it really means. It means that the Gog and Magog coalition is coming together. It means that time is running out. It means that you better accept Jesus Christ or else. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you from real news reports, time's running out. Terry, go ahead.
It means 2,500 years ago, a prophecy was made that's coming to fulfillment right here in front of our eyes. And right. You can look at the book and look at the and say, my goodness, wait a minute, this book is real.
Right. Beijing. Coming out of Beijing, the foreign ministers of Iran and Saudi Arabia met today for the first formal gathering of their top diplomats in more than 7 years after China brokered a deal to restore relations between the top regional powers. So again, they are China is getting heavily involved now with Turkey, with Syria. I mean, it's all right there. It's all right there in front of your face. You know, if you'll just pay attention. Israel, time for them now. Okay, so I'm going to start with what started all the shooting. Remember, we were talking about it before. How many missiles were going in? Okay, here's why it happened.
Israeli police attacked dozens of worshippers in Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque compound before dawn on Wednesday, witnesses said, and what Israeli police said was response to rioting.
The incident sparked protests across the occupied West Bank. And the Israeli military said 9 rockets were fired from Gaza toward Israel after sirens blared in southern towns. Violence in the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem has surged over the past year. Libby St. James reporting.
Okay, now again, that was the initial report where there were only 9 missiles. Now we're up well above 30. So, you know, this is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's not getting any better. You remember in the last show I told you about the former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, stating that Israel had nuclear weapons? Well, he has since deleted his tweet, okay? He has taken that down because he realized that it was a very, very bad decision. The finance minister, and again, I apologize in advance for his pronunciation here, Bezalel Smotrich, said that he was shocked by Barak's words and claimed he was echoing lies in order to harm the state of Israel. He then, and I'm quoting him here, "This delusional and irresponsible man along with Yari Lapid and several hundred other BDS activists from the left, have been traveling the world in recent weeks, making contact with foreign government officials, Jewish leaders, and economic agents, selling this abominable lie, sowing terror, and mobilizing everyone to harm the foreign relations and the economy of the state of Israel. This is one of the biggest and most serious BDS campaigns that Israel has known, and everything is homemade and done in the name of hatred and jealousy for Netanyahu and the nationalist camp. But they won't succeed. They will be remembered forever in the pages of the history of the Jewish people, and the Jewish and democratic state of Israel will continue to prosper and develop, end quote. So as you can see, there's a whole lot going on there. Also, Israel has, they're stating that what is happening right now is what they refer to as the war between wars. And if you listen to Eric Stackelback and the Watchman newscast, you will hear him refer to that often. So again, that is another newscast that I highly recommend that people go to. A couple of last second things here. You had Israeli, there were hackers in Israel, took down several university websites inside of Israel. They are planning for a big strike on, tomorrow. Tomorrow. So keep your eyes on that as well. The IDF chief says, we can manage on our own without the United States. What's really been keeping me awake for the last few days is the connection between Israel's security and the social situation in this country. He says Israel's highly capable of taking care of themselves. They don't need the United States of America. And I've got more, but we're out of time. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, again, please do.
Amen.
If we are given another show, we will be back, and we will continue to highlight what the mainstream media won't give you, and that's the truth. Please, if you haven't accepted Jesus, we do beg you to. And if we do have another show, we'll be back next time. Good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for the Last Christian Podcast. Now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.